Welcome back to another helpful edition of the Daily Bible Podcast. It's Wednesday's edition of the Daily Bible Podcast.
Wow.
It's Thursday's. It's not Wednesday's. It's Thursday's.
That's
edition.
Correct, because Wednesday was yesterday.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very helpful. That just confuse everybody.
Yep. No, I don't think you should do that. By the way, I just want you guys to prepare to write your senators, write your representatives. I need you to reach out to your highest local officials, whoever those are, and I need you to submit a complaint on my behalf.
All right. Here it comes. Drum roll, please.
Drum roll. There was another one on my lawn. I'm just gonna, how does that even happen? Here's my theory. Here's what happened.
Catch everybody up, because some people are like, another what? Another?
They know what I'm talking about. There's something on my lawn that's not supposed to be there, and it's left by a dog. I don't want to get us an E on our podcast. Wow. So the last time this happened, I was belligerent. Like, who does this? Why do they do this? And they left it on the lawn, and then I left it there because I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to pick it up. Well, someone picked it up in my family. So I got a camera, and now I have a camera facing out toward that area. So I thought, surely, if someone does it again, I will catch them. Well, what I didn't count on is the fact that there's more parts of my house than I have cameras to cover. So there's a part of my house, which my Ring doorbell cam can see, but for whatever reason, just chose not to see this. It was too profane even for my Ring doorbell camera. So there it is, just sitting there next to the light pole. And I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do with this? So I was sitting on it, thinking, not on the thing. I was just thinking about it.
Thanks for clarification on that. We appreciate that.
And I'm thinking, what do I do with this? So I go onto my Facebook group for my community, my HOA, the group of the people that live in that area. And lo and behold, one of the first posts that I see was one of my neighbors saying, who does this? And they have pictures, because we all need to see it, of course. They have pictures of what's happening. And there's some rogue dog just leaving stuff all over the place. And people are like, well, he's, you know, look at doorbell cameras and all those things. I'm like, what if you have a doorbell camera and it doesn't record? Which, by the way, Ring does that. I found out that Ring only records when it's kind of told to record. I guess that's how they save space or what have you. Google's cameras record 24/7.
So with Ring, you can change its sensitivity on that.
And it's at full sensitivity.
Okay.
So if a butterfly flaps its wings across the street, it picks it up. For whatever reason, this thing it did not pick up. Not even Ring wants to pick up what's being left.
It's a phantom. It's a phantom dog.
You know, I didn't think about that. Now, you know what? You may be right.
You know, I'm going to take spiritual warfare.
It's a spiritual warfare.
It's a demon dog leaving a demon dookie on your lawn.
Why are you speaking like that, man? You're going to have parents calling in and complaining. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm thinking about buying another camera. I'm not going to lie. I'm facing that side. I was going to say, I'm going to buy another camera. And at some point, so the question is, what happens when I see the person and their dog? What do I do then? And I've thought about it. Here's what I'm thinking, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. Pick it up. I put it in a paper bag. I take it to said neighbor's house and leave it on their doorstep.
And light it on fire.
I know I won't go that far. I'll put a note on it. Please pick up after your doggy. That's something like that.
Hey, so somebody suggested this week, because they heard you maybe talking about this on Sunday.
I was so hurt.
I know. We can hear it.
I'm apoplectic.
Yeah. And they said, you know, what he could do is he could put a little stand in his yard with doggy bags. And that way, if somebody uses your yard, there's a doggy bag right there, and it's just a way to love your neighbor.
So I honestly did think about something. So I thought about a couple of options. That the one I mentioned about the camera was one of them. But I thought, okay, I could put a sign there, please pick up after your dog. But I don't think that's the issue. Like, we have those in our community. We have those doggy bag things in different places because people have animals. I don't think that's the issue.
So then what did you do to somebody?
Bro, I don't even know, man. I honestly, I've been checking my heart and like, Lord, is this discipline? Am I being disciplined for something? I can't figure it out. The Lord has yet to reveal to me if I've done anything to offend him or my neighbors.
And are we sure it's not a coyote? Because those things, they don't read signs.
You know what? And that's a great point. I could take pictures and send it to you, and you can let me know after you inspect.
I don't care that much.
how would you know is what I'm getting at? How would you know?
Well, I don't know. My kids have a game called Poop Bingo that has all kinds of different types of animal poop.
Maybe I'll send it to them and
they might
them
be
inspect
able to
it.
Tell you. They might. They might be able. Yes. And bingo.
If it were, I don't get it, man. I one of my cameras should have picked up something, someone, and nothing.
Just get an electric shock fence around your yard.
Thought about that. I thought about secretly electrifying the the lawn without anyone's notice. And then if a dog happens to crawl on it and, you know.
I don't think you can electrify grass. I don't.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm looking up options as we speak.
All of a sudden, there you go. You show up at Pastor Rod's house. There's a 10-foot wall in front of his house. Yeah.
Well, I don't mind neighbors. I like my neighbors. I just don't understand who does that and why, or why they would. Maybe it is a coyote. That's the best case scenario, but I doubt it because we would have seen someone else would have noticed it on their cameras. They would have said something in the community. We'd know that. Yeah, this seems like a rogue person who's maybe not so keen on cleaning up after the doggy.
All right. Well,
are you that guy?
No. Did no, you I'm do not. It? Nope, I didn't.
Pat, you didn't bring Patrick over to my place just to do this?
I don't have a dog named Patrick.
Rhonda?
Maverick. Let's talk about the Bible.
Okay.
And keep us updated because we are all sitting on pins and needles awaiting the outcome. Is it still on your lawn presently?
I did not pick it up. And here's the reason why. I'm debating whether or not to buy a lawnmower. Currently, I have someone helping me clean or mow it. I'm like, I'll just pick it up when I mow it. I don't know. It's still there. Yes. You know, it makes sense down the line. There's several paths that I took to get to that point where I said, I'll pick it up later. That's essentially what I'm getting at.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was trying to connect the lawnmower to the poop. And
I know it took a couple steps for me to get there, but I got there. And that's how it started is I'm going to buy a lawnmower. And then it got to the point of, I'll just pick it up later.
Okay. Okay. All right. Hey, 2 Samuel 8, the first 14 verses, the song that came to mind is that one that all I do is win, no matter what.
Keep going. I don't know this one.
Yeah, you do.
Keep going.
And the hands go up and they stay there because that's David right now. David's just winning. Everything he does is a win. It's a W.
Still not registering that song. If you could just keep going a little longer.
I don't like this. I quit.
You started it.
If I was just like, oh, you know that song, all I do is, you would have been like, can you sing a little bit for us? There's no pleasing you, Pastor Rod. That's it. That's it. At the end of the day, there's no win.
The worship guy wants more music. Is anybody surprised?
All I do with you is lose, no matter what.
That's not true. Not true.
Anyways, David's just killing it. I mean, he's going out, victory. And yet, here's the reason why. It's not because of David being better or stronger or, you know, a better warrior, though he was, all of those things. But the reason why is there in verse 6. Look at the last part, 6b, if you will. And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. Mm. The Lord gave victory. So why was David winning all of these battles? Because God was with him. Because David was walking in obedience with him. Because David was doing things well. But in the opening here, you get David going after the Moabites. And we have to remember, it wasn't long ago that we were talking about one Moabite in particular, or maybe a family, the Ruth the Moabitess. You remember her? And she ended up marrying Boaz, and she ended up being David's grandmother. And so here you have David going back to the Moabites, and there's no love lost amongst family here. Now, this is not saying that David's parents were still part of the nation of Moab, and there was any sort of connection there any longer at this point. But David takes the Moabites and he does something that was common. He would basically lay them down in rows on the ground, and every third row was spared and every other row was executed. And that's a way that they would quickly pare down an army so that there would be really no fighting defenses left to be able to launch a counterattack or anything else like that. And so David goes after the Moabites here. But chapter 8 is really just about his wins. And then in verses 15 through 18, just some administrative details that are thrown in there as well.
A couple of quick notes here. Number one, you might have stopped at, or at least paused. I did. Verse 4, where it says, David hamstrung all the chariot horses, but left enough for 100 chariots. Hamstringing. Have you ever seen that, Pastor PJ? Hamstrung horse? You ever look at that?
I have not seen one, but I've studied the concept.
So here's what I read. It's a cruel act, is what one commentator said. It's a cruel act that people will do for horses so that they're no longer useful for battle, although they could still be used for other things, farming and what have you. This seems like animals are suffering needlessly for the warfare of man, in this case, David's warfare against his people. So does this in any way change the way that we think about animals? Should we, I don't know, should animals be thought of any differently than what we have here? In other words, what I'm getting at is, are we supposed to be PETA people, or does it even matter how we treat animals? Or is this how he treats the horses? Does this have any bearing on how we think about them?
I mean, we're called to steward creation. We're called to even be kind in other parts of Scripture towards animals, not to the point of neglecting their usefulness to us as far as food and clothing and things like that. This, what we have to understand is going on here is these were instruments of war as much as they were anything else. So much like with the Moabites, he lays them down every other line and kills the people. He was going after the animals because the animals were another instrument of war that if the Moabites had these animals, they had resources available to launch counterattacks and do other things. And so he's trying to put them in a position where there is no opportunity or possibility for them to pose a threat to Israel or any of Israel's allies from this point forward.
And another factor on top of this is that King David was told not to acquire a lot of horses, chariots. It's kind of part of the, God didn't want them to have a mass arsenal of weaponry and tools, elements of warfare, because he didn't want them to begin to put their trust in them. He wanted them to put their trust in him. So even if this strikes you wrong, just keep in mind what's happening here. Keep in mind the big picture. This is actually a good thing. It's an act of mercy for the horses. He could have just slaughtered them, rendering them incapable of warfare. It actually alleviates them from having to subject themselves to the cruelty of warfare.
Right.
One other quick thing here, verse 18. You might notice that David's sons, according to this passage here, were priests. Did you notice that? David's sons were priests. And you might think, well, that doesn't make sense. His sons could not be priests. They're not from the tribe of Levi. They're from the tribe of Judah. How does this make sense? And I'm going to tell you to cross-reference 1 Chronicles 18:17. So that's where we're going to get the parallel passage. I think we're reading that today, aren't we? Yeah, we're reading that today. 1 Chronicles 18. So 1 Chronicles 18 is going to give you a different flavor of how they were priests, and I'm going to use the air quotes here, because they weren't priests in the strictest sense that you might think of, because they would be disqualified or unqualified because they're not from the tribe of Levi. So just note that 1 Chronicles 18:17 will give you a better sense of what they were.
Yep. That is a good insight that you just had there, Pastor Rod.
Some would call it helpful, but I'm just trying to be useful.
It is keen and keen. It is appreciated. All right. Hey, 2 Samuel 9, the story of 2 Samuel 9 is about Mephibosheth. And you might think, God bless you. Mephibosheth was one of Jonathan's sons. And so David in 2 Samuel 9, as he's now established, he's in Jerusalem. Things are going well. He's winning these battles. He's settled. And he sits back and he thinks and he remembers his friend. He remembers Jonathan. And he thinks to himself of the covenant that he made with Jonathan and how he had promised Jonathan, hey, I'll care for your household. And so he inquires there in verse 1, is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? He wants to fulfill the promise that he made to his friend. And they find out through word of mouth that there is still a son named Mephibosheth who is alive. And so David seeks out Mephibosheth and he calls this servant named Ziba. And Ziba I think feels like he gets the raw end of the deal here and was expecting a lot more than he got. And instead, he's kind of made a servant to a cripple is basically what happens here. And so David takes Mephibosheth, who was crippled, and he elevates him and brings him in and sits him at his table. And he gets to enjoy the king's presence and really be as though he's part of the king's family, again, because of his relationship with Jonathan. And so this is one of those chapters to put a pin in, because we're going to come back to this a couple times when David is driven out of the kingdom by his son Absalom. We're going to see Ziba back on the scene. And then when David returns, there's going to be Ziba and Mephibosheth for David to deal with again as well. So put a pin in this, but this is David's faithfulness to his dear friend Jonathan shown up again here in how he treats Mephibosheth.
Yeah, one of the cool things about this is that that he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo-Debar. That's where Mephibosheth is. Lots of ways you could translate Debar is the way we translate it here, but the name of the city is likely No Thing, No Nothing, like a no one from nowhere. Mephibosheth, a nobody from nowhere who has nothing. And yet David takes this guy and he does something very akin to what the gospel does for us, and I'm stoked about seeing that.
Yeah. For sure. Well, 1 Chronicles 18 covers a lot of the same material that we just covered before. But Pastor Rod, you alluded to this in 1 Chronicles 18:17. So why don't you finish your thought there on the sons of David that in 2 Samuel are referred to as priests?
That's right. So remember that. Now look at the very last verse of 1 Chronicles 18 here. You'll see that his sons, David's sons, were the chief officials in the service of the king. So it seems less likely that they were actually priests in the sense of being Levites, and more likely that they're serving in the way that like a chief, an advisor, or someone, a minister to the king, something like that. So that's a better sense of what's happening here. So when you're reading the Bible, and this is especially helpful because you have two parallel texts, and something strikes you as odd, if there's context or other texts that speak to it, you often have a resolution to what seems like a very tricky passage. In this case, that's exactly what we have. First Chronicles 18 says that they were not, in fact, priests as in Levites. They were chief officials in service to the king, which makes a lot more sense.
Awesome. Well, hey, a little bit of a shorter episode today, longer episode yesterday, so things balance out in the end, but we're super glad that you are making this decision to read the Bible with us.
And we hope that you find this podcast more than useful. We
adequately of service to you in
that
understanding
makes it sound
the
worse.
Text.
It doesn't sound any better. That sounds worse. We would like you to experience the joy of reading your Bible.
Down in your heart.
Yes.
Because all we do is win.
Do we? How's that go again?
No matter what.
How does it go again?
I'll sing it offline.
All right.
I don't want us to get copyright infringement.
Because it's going to be so good. It's going to sound just like the recording.
Exactly. All right. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast. We hope and pray this has been a blessing to you and your time in the Word. If it has, if you would subscribe to this podcast, leave a like, leave a comment, and share it with some friends and family, that would be awesome. If you need more information about Compass Bible Church here in North Texas, you can go to compassntx.org. Again, that's compassntx.org. And we'll be back with you tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast.